Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. How many remember what we've been talking about? Been talking about faith. I won't read all the faith verses as we start today. How many's here? How many stayed home? How many still making up your mind? Okay. Okay, get with me for a few minutes here. Last week I was talking about the spirit of faith, and we talked about different spirits, and we always have different spirits. You know, how many know that the atmosphere and all the world around us is controlled by spiritual activity, and we're either being influenced by the angels, God's spirits, or we're being influenced by the devil's spirits. So we talked last week about our words and things we said and the effect of some of these spirits. I want to talk some more about that, but I didn't quite get done with this spirit of faith thing. And so I kind of wanted to just mention a little bit today. If you don't mind, I don't have any notes or anything. If you don't mind, I'd like to just talk to you for a few minutes using the scripture here. I had so many thoughts this week that the piles of paper on the Pam's after me to clean up. I did it on the dining room table, and they're still all there. And she's after me to clean that mess up. But there's so many that I just thought, you know, Lord, I just want you to speak to us for a few minutes. Paul says, In Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what was written, 'I believe and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak." The spirit of faith. I think last week we indicated more of like the attitude of faith, the you know, how we're influenced with that, but I just wanted to read, I use this passage of scripture here, Paul, and talk about it for a second. It says, he starts in verse 7 here. He says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of power may be of God and not of us." Now, so for a little bit of background about what's going on here, Paul, if you look in the first chapter of Corinthians, Paul went through something. He went through a challenge. How many has ever had some challenges? How many has ever gone through some things that you just didn't know if you were going to make it or not? How many gone through some things, and I mean, it just felt like death? You had no answer. You didn't know what to do. You just had to depend on God. Anybody? How many ever went through some of those things and you came out feeling good about your faith, good about the way you handled the situation? Anybody? Okay, so we've gone through those things and we come out and you flex your spiritual muscles a little bit because you're glad that you stood strong. How many's ever gone through some of those things and you didn't stand so strong? You didn't come out feeling so tough, huh? Now, if you're like me, a lot of times, maybe more than the other, that's the way we come out of them, you know. But Paul's talking about that here. And if you go to the first chapter, he says, "But we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, or I don't want you to be uninformed about the trouble which came to us in Asia." Now, I don't know what happened exactly to Paul in Asia, and I believe it was in Ephesus, because in the first letter to Corinthians, he talks about the beast of Ephesus. He's talking about the beast. Now, he's talking about people. He's talking about things he had to encounter. He's talking about things that that he had to go through. And he says, I don't want you to be uninformed about this. We were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, and in whom we trust he will still deliver us. And then he goes on, verse 11, thank you for praying for us, and thank you for standing with us. Paul goes through something there that he came to a point in his life where this pressure and this stuff was so hard and so great on him that he didn't know which way to turn. He didn't have an answer. He didn't know what to do. He everything that he could muster up wasn't enough. He came to a place to where he had to depend on God. Now, I don't like to get to those places, do you? I mean, I like the part of depending on God. And so what I'm trying to learn how to do is depend on him so I don't have to go to those places to learn how to depend on him. You with me? Anybody with me? But this thing he went through must have been so vicious and so hard. And he just, I want you to get his feeling. I want you to get his thought. He didn't know which way to turn. He didn't know what to do. He felt all alone. He felt incapable. He just had to trust God. And then he spends up into where we are now talking about God, talking about the Word of God, talking about the light of the gospel. And that's the treasure that he's saying in us is the power of the gospel that God used and raised him out of that situation. And I don't know, maybe you're in one of those situations now. Maybe you've just been in one. Maybe there's one up ahead. I don't want to prophesy that, but the truth is we face those things. And he says, but we have this treasure in us. We have this light of the gospel. We have this word in us. We have this overcoming power of God in us. And we know it's not us. We know it's God. He goes on and says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed and not in despair. We're persecuted but not forsaken. We're struck down but not destroyed. You understand what he's saying? He says, man, we've had the snot kicked out of us, but he didn't win. We've been through it. We've been knocked down, but we didn't stay down. We've been despaired. We've been in despair, but he didn't leave us alone. It felt like we were alone, but we weren't alone. We didn't know what to do, but he showed us what to do. And because of that treasure in us, because of that power of God in us, the devil didn't win. Now, what I think's interesting about this thing is he's telling about this after he's gone through it. You know, I was thinking, and I'm still searching the scripture to find out, but I don't find anywhere where Paul's really talking too much about the problem while he's in it. He's explaining how it was and what God did when he got out of it. You know, that's the most dangerous time to talk about what's going on in your life while you're in it. Huh? You'll say things that you shouldn't say. You'll influence people that you in ways that you shouldn't influence them. While you're in the middle of fire, the less you say, the better off you are. Was Jesus our example? Huh? When he was in the fire at the end, man, when he was in the fire and he said, he just shut down. In the midst of all that stuff, he didn't talk. He said very little. They beat him and they crucified him. And in the middle of all that, he said very little, very little. Because if he'd have said the wrong thing, he'd have messed a lot of stuff up. Because the words are important. But anyway, he says, that's where he says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in the body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that life, the life of Jesus may also manifest in our mortal bodies, our mortal flesh. Now, what he's saying was here, he's saying we're always exposed. When he's talking about death, he's talking about what the devil does. He's talking about the curse of the law. He's talking about the curse, the death that came on mankind when Eve and Adam sinned. He's talking about that authority that the enemy has. And he says that's always present with me. It's always here. I'm always reminded of it. He's always there trying to get me. And he's always, and then verse 11 it says, and for we are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. What he's saying is here, he said, man, we have to go through stuff. The enemy's here to steal, kill, and destroy, and it's always present. That evil is always present. But he said it's present so that we can know, it says the life of Jesus, so that we can know the resurrection power of that life of Jesus. It says we're delivered. That means we can't escape everything. Wouldn't it be good if we could escape everything? I think we can go through it victoriously. I think we can go through it, but you know, some stuff you're just going to have to go through. You know, that's one of the big problems I see with the body of Christ today. Anything that's uncomfortable, we want to get away from it. Anytime it gets a little rough, we're just going to quit. Now, not you. You're here. You stood through some fires, all most of you here. You stood through some stuff. But you know, the average thought out here is, you know, let's go find some place that's comfortable. Let's go find some place that it isn't a challenge. And that's why God can never take us to where He wants us to be, is because every time we face a little opposition, we get the mully grubs. We get discouraged. We want to go eat some worms. We just are down. I'll just quit. But let me tell you something, quitting's not an object, or not an option. I've quit before, and it's not an option. Huh? If you think He'll ease up on you when you quit, you're mistaken. He'll come so hard on you that he'll try to get you to never commit again. Huh? Because He's afraid of you. He's afraid of you. And so he says, this stuff happens to us. He says, so that resurrection life of Jesus can shine through our bodies. We go through stuff, we face stuff, it's ever present, and we go through it so that resurrection power can come through our life, be manifested by God through our life. And those people out there that are fighting those same kind of battles can see that God has the victory. They can see something in us and see that if they'll just hang on to God, if they'll just keep trusting Him, their situation can change too. Nothing's worse than feeling hopeless. Huh? Nothing worse than feeling hopeless. Feeling like there's just, you don't have it. That, you know, that's why people commit suicide, Nathan. No hope. But we've got this earthen treasure. We've got this heavenly treasure. We've got this light of the gospel of Jesus Christ inside of us. And it brings us hope. And we're supposed to share that hope with everybody we see. You get around a lot of Christians, not none of you, but a lot of them, they just make you want to go to the bar and get drunk. Huh? I mean, a drunk's happier than a lot of Christians I see. I'm going to tell you something, man. I've tasted some new wine. Some new wine, and there isn't anything that compared to that new wine. And that's what people have to see. That's what people want to see. They want to see if this Jesus thing really works. You know when they're going to see it? When you're in the fire. I don't want to go in the fire. I know, but you're going to go in the fire. Now, how are you going to respond to it? We all have our turns in the fire. How are you going to respond? Can I tell you something? You don't ever learn anything. You don't ever have any spiritual growth in your life when everything's going good. It's when you're under those pressures and you're combating those thoughts and those imaginations that come at you and all that stuff that's happening in your life and you're combating that stuff. It's in those spiritual battles when all those spirits that are trying to get you to quit are combating all those ministering spirits that are trying to get you to hang in there. And it's when those battles come that spiritual growth takes place inside of you. That's when some steel's put in there. He says, so then death is working in us, but resurrection life in you. And I want you to understand, Paul's using his experiences to edify Christians, to edify the church. He's using his experiences. He's not saying that you're going to have to go through these things that I'm going through. He's using them as an example to tell you and to show you and me and all of us that everything and whatever we have to go through, it'll be okay. Because God will never leave us. Whatever we face, we can come out the other side as a conqueror. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have to go through the things that Paul went through. Huh? Are you, I mean, beat 39 times, or 39 stripes, 8 or 9 times. He stoned to death, shipwrecked. He floated out in the sea for a whole night and a day. And I mean, every place he went, they were trying to kill him. They had to let him out over the wall in a basket one time. They didn't want to hear this message about Jesus. The devil doesn't want to hear it today. That's why he'll do everything he can to get us out of the race. I like that prayer this morning. That's where, you know, that's the thing about Paul. The harder you opposed him, the harder you came at him, the more opposition that came at him, the more he was going to serve God. Throw your best shot at old Paul, and he is going to knock him down, stone him. He's going to come back alive and get up and tell you how to get Jesus in your heart. Yeah, let's keep praying about winning souls. Let's keep praying about that. We'd rather do anything. We'd rather think about anything. Gary, I got to hurry. Gary mentioned the spots here. You know, the other day, I don't know. You know, God tells me to do something, and then after He tells you to do something, after you're doing it, then you start wondering, did you really tell me to do that, God? Anybody ever been there? And I'm putting these spots on, and I'm going, God, and I'm going and getting out of the car. I'm getting ready to go in the store, and I say, God, I don't want to do this stuff just to be doing it. Is this getting anybody saved? Is this helping anybody? I want to advance your kingdom. I want people to get saved. I'm not interested in them knowing who I am or anything else. I want them to get saved. And I said, God, I'm just asking you. And I walked right into the store and came up to the cashier, and he looked at me and he said, "Are you you're that pastor downtown, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Thank you for putting those things on TV. I see you on TV. Thank you for putting them on TV." Now, I'm a little thick sometimes, but I mean, that's kind of apparent, you know. At a function yesterday, and a lady comes, a big, I mean, there's several hundred people there, and this lady comes fighting through the crowd, and I'm sitting over at a table, and she comes over, and she says, "Hi, Hank, I'm so-and-so, and I just wanted to tell you, hi, and so I just wanted to tell you I appreciate those spots you're putting on TV." She said, "I used to work at the bank. I knew you when you were at the had the car lot." She said, "But thank you for putting those spots on." I don't know, but somehow, and I didn't say that to pump the spots up. I'm just saying we got to care about souls. You know, that's the ultimate purpose of the devil. That's why he tries to get you down. He doesn't care about your money. He doesn't care about your mental health. He doesn't care about all the rest of that. He wants to do all the evil to us he can. But the number one objective, he couldn't keep you from getting saved, but if he can shut you up. Well, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the rack, and I don't claim to be. And I don't know everything I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm trying, and I'm learning. But I'll say this, devil, you're not going to shut me up. Is he going to shut you up? All he's got to do is get you quit. Anyway, let's move on with this, and I'll talk a few more minutes, and then I'll let you go. Have a Father's Day hamburger or something. He goes on here and he says, this is the verse we used. He says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what was written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore we speak. What he's talking about is in Psalms 116. He's quoting David. Let me just read you this. Evidently, David was going through something too, like Paul had just gone through. Or Paul was going through something similar to what David had gone through. He says, because the whole 116 Psalms is David is thanking God. It's a Psalms of thanksgiving because God delivered him from death. Delivered him from death. He said, "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." You hear what he said? "You've delivered me. I'm going to serve you. I believe and therefore I spoke." I believe and therefore I spoke. He said, "I am greatly afflicted." This next verse 11 kind of got me a little bit. It says, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." David evidently went through a thing we know the story. Saul was always trying to kill him, and evidently he had just escaped death again from Saul. So he'd just gone through this tremendous challenge, but he said something. He said, "I said in my haste." Let me stress this again. When you're under the pressure, when the hounds of hell are on you, we might not have to face death like David did and like Paul did. But I'm going to tell you what, when death comes after us, when that enemy comes after us, how many know it feels like death a lot of times? Huh? Have you been under the pressure so heavy that you just knew you were going to break? And sometimes the only thing that kept you from breaking was you quoted the scripture and said, "Lord, you said you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear." Anybody ever been there? Yeah, all of us. All of us. David said something there. He said in the middle of his problem, he spoke in haste. And he started blaming people, actually. So all men are liars. He started blaming people. Did you know that when the devil's after you, the first thing we do is we start looking for something to blame? Someone to blame? Is anybody alive? We start looking, you know, and then the next step is we start blaming ourselves. Well, let me tell you where the blame goes. The devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And we're exposed to this death all the time. We're exposed to these evil spirits all the time. And we have to go through things because of them. But we don't have to go through them and lay down. We can come through them victorious, because in everything, Paul said, I am more than a conqueror. But let me just say this, and I have to watch this. In the middle of the stuff, you'll say things. And when you say things, you can't get them back. You'll say things to your spouse. You'll say things to the people that are the closest to you. You'll say things. And here's what I've seen happen. We spew stuff out, and our uneasiness spreads to everybody we talk to. See, if I'm under the pressure and I'm thinking about quitting, then pretty soon everybody I'm talking to is thinking about quitting. Are you with me? You know, it's amazing. You can give the testimonies of God, man, and God do something mighty. God raised somebody up right here out of the wheelchair, and you can tell it, and that just kind of goes for a few minutes and it drops off. But you can have a bad report, and you don't even have to try to publicize it. It just comes natural. You're just telling everybody how bad it is. True? David said, I said things in haste. He's repenting, and you know, but you know, the scary thing about it is, and we all do it. If you've been doing it, don't think that I know about it, and I'm on you, okay? But you know, the bad thing about it is, I can be down, and I start talking to you, Corey, and after a while, now it'd be hard to get you down, but you know, after a while, I mean, it might not, you know, somebody here might not get you down, but if I started talking to you about being down, I could get you down. And the devil knows. The devil knows. He knows where our button is. He knows what to push. But I come here and I'm talking to you, and now all of a sudden you walk away and you got the mully grubs, and Krista's going, what in the world happened to you, man? Who messed with your sugar smacks, you know? And I go on down the road, and then I get the victory. And now I'm on top of it, man. That was wrong. I was wrong. But you know what? I've said stuff, and it affected him. And he's the one that's down now. I've recovered. I've recouped. And I'm on down. I've got the victory again. But not him. You see the importance of it? You see how serious it is? We're going to all go through stuff. Let's go through it. Do like Paul said in the first chapter. He said, you weren't getting down on me. You were praying for me. Huh? If you're under the gun, let me know. I promise you, I won't get on you. I'll pray for you. Huh? You see somebody else under the gun, you see them fighting the battle, man, go and just say, hey, I don't even need to know all the details, but I know the enemy's giving you a hard time, and I'm going to be praying for you. Prayer will change things. Prayer will change things. So that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, just like David was in that thing, and he said, I believed and therefore I spoke. He said, that's the way we're doing. We believe and therefore we speak. And what was he speaking? He said, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us to you, with you. The Amplified Classic says, he'll raise us up and he brings us into his presence. That sounds like going to that place you was talking about, Randy. He'll bring us into his presence. You know, if you're down, all you need to do is let that resurrection power, let that light of God that's inside of you, just let it pick you up and just take you over into God's presence. You get over in God's presence for a little while. The other stuff won't matter anymore. It won't matter if it's still there. And a lot of times it will be. But it won't matter. It won't matter. Because you're in this world, but you're not of this world. Huh? You got stuff going on around you, but it's not affecting you on the inside. It says, for all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving and abound to the glory of God. All these things that happen to us, they happen to us, and man, we're supposed to, in the midst of it, even give a good report. In the midst of it, glorify God. And as that starts happening, the grace of God starts coming in our lives, and that stuff, it just spreads like wildfire. Huh? You ever try to walk in a group of people and be happy? Just be happy and watch it spread. Huh? The grace of God, he just wants to spread his grace through us. He just wants men, and pretty soon we're all going around, and pretty soon we're all laughing about the challenges we've been through. We're all laughing about the stuff the devil tried to. Did you see what he tried to do? He tried to do this to me, but my God was strong enough. He kept me. He didn't leave me. He stayed with me, and he raised me up. That resurrection power came in me. You know, you have to make a choice to go that way. You don't have to make a choice to be sad, but you got to make a choice to be happy. The other day, I was fighting it. I don't know if you remember what was going on, but man, the hounds of the basins, hounds of hell were on me, man. And all of a sudden, I just thought, you know, hold it. What have I been talking about? I said, I choose your joy, Lord. Your joy is my strength. I choose to be happy. I choose to smile. I don't care what's going on around me. I don't care what the enemy's trying to do inside of me. I choose you, God. Well, anyway. All these pulses, all these things we've gone through, they're for your sake so that you can see them, man. And you can start seeing what God can do. And you can start realizing that resurrection power and what it did in our life. And you can start realizing what it's doing in your life. And you can start realizing pretty soon you're just praising God and you're just thanking Him for everything. Well, don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. So let me wrap this up here. So he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't get discouraged. We're not going to get all worried and weighted down with all that stuff. Even though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, man, I'm not getting down. I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm not going to worry. All this stuff is going on around me, but I know it's working for my good. What was the song we sang a while ago? I know it's working for my good. And even though everything out here looks like it's going to hell, I'm getting stronger and stronger in here, man. The devil can't stand it. He just can't stand it. And I love this. He says, for our light afflictions, beaten, shipwrecked, snake bit, all the stuff, stoned to death, my light afflictions. I like that. Which are for a moment is working in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I want you to understand his conclusion here. He says, even though all this stuff's going on around me, the outward man is perishing, the inside man's getting stronger. And he goes, our light afflictions, he said, all this stuff that's happening out here, it's just for a minute. It's just for a minute. It's going to pass. Because I know that while it's happening, he's working everything for my good. You see, that's a confidence, that's a hope in there that, man, the devil can't destroy that. He can't get to that. So he says, even though it's going out of here, man, I'm not paying attention because I know something's happening in here. He said, all these light afflictions, man, said, they're just for a moment, said, but they're nothing compared to what God's building into me for eternity. Can I tell you something? What you're going through is, it'll be over. Huh? It's just a season. he tries to make you think it's going to last forever and there's no hope. but it's just for a little bit. So right in the middle of it, when the thoughts are telling you there's no hope, there's nothing I can do, I don't have any, you know, I don't have any answers, right in the middle of that, go, yeah, but this season's going to pass. Right in the middle of that, just say, you're right, devil, but wait a minute and watch what happens when God gets a hold of you. Yeah, it seems bad, Lord, and I don't know what to do, but devil, while we're on the subject, let me tell you what's going to happen to you when that resurrection power of Jesus raises up on the inside of me. I don't know, sometimes, I mean, the devil gives me a hard time, you know, I mean, but sometimes I almost feel sorry for him. He's just so stupid. He's just so ignorant. Jesus kicked the brains out of him. He's, you know, he's mentally challenged. And he just does the best he can. But if we've got our faith and if we're walking in that spirit of faith, everything he tries at us, it just blows up in him. It just backfires on him. Because God's always going to have the final say. You know what? Most of the time, when he's about to have the final say in our life about something, we give up before he gets a chance to show that resurrection power in us, that resurrected life. That'll make you hold on a little longer. Working in me some glory. He says, while we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see what he's saying? He's making a faith statement there. He said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what my feelings tell me. I'm not moved by anything that goes on around me. I'm moved by what God says and what he says. Even if I can't see it, I believe it. I it's my evidence. I believe it before I even see it because God said it. And because of him, I'm going to be the winner. Because of him, I'm going to end up on top. Because of him. All these things that are happening here, they're all just temporary. But the things I can't see going on, man, they're eternal. They're eternal. Well, you don't look near as excited as I feel, but that's okay. I know on the inside you are. Me and you with this scripture. It's what Jesus said before he left. Matthew 16, verse 33. He said this. Will you receive this for yourself? He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Now I believe he's had me tell you some things today so that in him, you can have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you'll have tribulation and trials and distress and frustrations. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be comforted. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. And I have conquered it for you. Can you give him some praise? Can you give him some praise? He's telling you today, the spirit of faith. He's telling you today, man, can you look past whatever's going on? Can you look past whatever's getting you down? Can you look past the problem? Can you look past the trouble? Can you look past that and look at me? I've already beat him for you. I've already conquered him for you. So just put a smile on your face and just walk right on through it. Because you'll be just like those old three boys in the Old Testament. You'll walk right through that fiery furnace and you'll come out, not even smell a smoke on you. Because he's with you. Because he's with you. Say, well, Hank, I just don't know how. I know. That's when we have to trust him, is when we don't know how. Huh? So, everybody stand. Let's just stand and give God some praise. If there's anybody in here and you have any uncertainty about your salvation, if you don't know that when you die you'll go be with God, pray this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. I ask you to come into my heart. I give you my life. I want to live it for you. I've messed it up, but I believe you to fix it. So help me, Lord. Help me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, as soon as I dismiss, come on down here. I'd like to pray with you, but I'd like to give you some information to help you get on your way with the Lord. And if you are saved, and I think practically everybody in here probably is, let's quit letting the devil get so much victory over us. All this stuff is just for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes. Go ahead and smile. It's okay. Jesus is good. Matter of fact, everybody give the Lord a big praise. Big clap of praise. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Well, I love you today, and I want you to look at your watches because I'm letting you go early, see? So, I love you, and I want the best for you. I want God to be big in your life. I want him to help you with all. If I could do it for you, I would. Because I want God's goodness in your life. But if you'll receive it right now, I'll speak it into you. I speak his goodness and his favor into you. I believe for him to change you, for him to touch you, for him to manifest his presence inside of you. I believe for him to draw us all closer to him than we've ever been before. And I give him the praise for that. Do you receive it? I'm going to receive some of that for myself. I'm just going to take some of that for myself. As you leave today, let me say something. At the beginning of the service, Nathan prayed, and we all joined and prayed and believed for people to get saved, didn't we? Didn't we? Oh, I was trying to remember if that was this service or the last one. We did, right? Let me tell you something. Nobody will get saved if we don't tell them how. You hear me? I just prayed a prayer, and most of the reason I prayed that prayer was so that you would know how to tell somebody how to be saved. Just ask him. Just ask him into your heart. Just give him your life. Okay? So we can pray and pray and pray, but until we tell them, they can't be saved. How can they be saved? How can they believe unless somebody tells them? So I'm sending you this week into the town, into the area, to tell everybody you see about Jesus. Every time a door opens for you, don't be obnoxious, but every time God opens a door for you, share a little seed. Drop a little nugget in somebody's heart. Will you do that? Hey, happy Father's Day. There won't be a service tonight. I want all you fathers to grill or eat lots of hamburgers or let your wives grill for you. There you go. That's the best way. And, hey, I love you. Thank you for being here today. See you next time.